his arms are open wide. This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
God is greater than any storm, and he is closer when we feel alone. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He is here. Jesus is here. For the lost and for the hurting, he is here. Jesus is here.
So lift up your head, oh broken heart. Give it to the Father, 'cause God is greater than any storm. He is closer when we feel alone. Hey,
the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He is here. Jesus is here for the lost and for the hurting. He is here. Jesus is here.
He is here right now. Oh,
Jesus is here.
He's worthy. He's worthy.
Oh, yes, he is.
Broken hearted, he is here.
And good morning and welcome to Wednesday Live. So glad that you have joined us today. It's a little wet out there today, and so you're going to have to be careful if you're out on the roads. I had a little run up to Fort Pierce. I guess, Stuart, you probably hit a little bit of that water out there yourself.
Oh, yeah, we flowed right on down on 95. we were sailing right on down the road there.
Oh, no doubt about it. That's the pontoon option you bought when you bought that truck.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's been a while since I've seen US 1 all the way across the road with standing water.
There's no doubt about that.
And I guess down South Palm Beach, they've had a lot of rain down there as well, up and down our coast. So I know a lot of people, our yards have been crying out for a little more water, and the sprinklers just couldn't get it, so we definitely have it today. But be careful. Well, this is Wednesday Live. So glad to have you listening. Keep your dial set right there at 89.9, and this is WCNO in Palm City, Florida, your good news station. And we are going to get right into what God has for us. We have a little bit of mail coming in from our family, and so we're going to share a bit of that, and then we have Stuart Fakita with us. And Stuart, welcome.
Thank you. Appreciate being back here.
Well, every time you come, I know that God's going to give you something that's going to touch somebody's heart.
And amen.
That's always going to happen. Dave, our own David Francoeur, is here in the skin.
Yeah, I try to keep it that way.
Keep it on. You have a little bit of mail there. And Karen Hubbard, welcome.
Yeah. Good morning.
You all pull yourself away from your, high demand jobs here at WCNO, and also your very well known and recognized and growing group of listeners for your programs, Dave, with Frontline.
Frontline, yeah.
Weekly program.
Monday mornings from 11 to noon.
Yep, great program.
Well, God has made it that way, and we have, in fact, I just signed Stuart on.
Good. I'm in September. He's a great one to have.
But guests, it's a variety of folk, but the one commonality is born-again lovers of Jesus who have powerful ministries because their Jesus is in it, and they're sharing the frontline work that they're doing, and they're also reminding the listener who's sitting at home in a recliner, if you're just having retired,
amen.
And they're saying, wait a minute, I'm a believer. I can't retire from serving Jesus.
That's right.
You
That's
have a frontline right. ministry, too. It's very exciting.
Amen.
And these
amen.
Are high-impact days. There,
oh, yeah.
There
oh, yeah.
is there is so much that can be done, and so much that God has equipped us through our life to do. And Karen, your program is on Friday. I don't start with Dave because, his program is more important. It's just he's at the front of the week. Yeah.
Yes,
so
exactly.
you come in on Fridays.
Yeah,
and you
up.
Have an excellent program, Hidden Places. Tell us a little bit about that and when that program's on.
Well, the program's on Fridays from 11 to 12, and it's named Hidden Places because there's a lot of hidden treasures in the people of God, and God wants to draw those things out. And, when the program started, it was God's idea, so I didn't really know how he wanted to do it. I started off doing interviews with people, and because I'm prophetically inclined, then it has pretty much morphed into myself and other prophetic intercessors that we just come together and talk about what the Lord is showing each one of us. And everybody in the body of Christ has a piece of the puzzle that God is building his church. And we just want to encourage the body, encourage the saints, and let you find the hidden places that are in you.
Amen. And may I just give a shout out, because
that's awesome.
I listen whenever I can to Karen's program. My wife and I, if we're not on the road or whatever, sit together, turn the radio up. And I want to speak to the men who are listening right now, because most men just automatically think, bunch of women talking. I'm going to have trouble.
That's a
women's program. I'm going to be saying to myself, Get to the point. So let me say to that, gentlemen, that I listen. What I'm hearing, three godly people who are in the Spirit at that time, and there's always at least one thing, if not many things, that touch my heart that I need to hear. It's not a women's program, although it's women. Mm-hmm. It's for everybody.
Amen.
Amen.
Everybody.
Just like Frontline.
Yeah,
Amen.
Just like
and just
Amen.
Like Wednesday Live.
Yeah, just like
and
right.
just like Jesus. He's for everybody.
He's for everybody.
Amen. Okay. Well,
And so a little promo there for our in-house leaders of these programs, because this is something fairly new, you know, coming in, kind of changing of the guards. Many of you remember Tom Creighton, and he did a great job here for 29 years, and Tom is still learning how to be retired.
Amen.
He was
Amen.
A very busy guy, but he and his wife are well, and so occasionally we get to hear from him. In fact, it's time for me to call him again. But coming in, one of the things God put on our heart was to kind of find out who we were as a team, and what did God want to say and do through us here at this station. So it's been a great blessing. Both of you, you're doing an awesome job. And to all of our listeners, thank you for sending us in some mail. We like to catch your notes. We try to share some of those. And so, Karen, why don't we start with you, and then we'll get to Dave. Dave has something unusual this morning I haven't seen in my, you know, it's 6 years now as a manager.
Oh, my word.
Time has flown by, six
That's
years.
That's right. It was end of May or first part of June.
Yeah, I started a little earlier, but actually came back and found Tom was gone.
Yes.
Tom had told me, he said, there's a lot of really important secrets to management that I'll cover when in June. And then he left before I got home. Which he said, you'll get it.
His leaving was not one of the secrets.
No, that was not the secret. Okay. No. You know, but I really think it was just part of God's plan, and maybe even part of the wisdom that Tom had, that there are a lot of things about being here in this ministry that you just learn as you go. As things come up, you know, God lets us learn. So, Karen, what do you have?
Well, in that 6 years, we've been going at breakneck speed.
We have. A lot of things have happened. Yeah, a lot has happened.
Yes, yes.
Trying to catch my
breath. In the fast lane.
Yeah, there's that.
And it's still moving that way.
Yeah, it is, yes.
No moss growing under our feet.
No.
But, so we have a note here from Janine, and she said, praise God always. And she sent that in with her monthly donation. And then we also received a little note here from Jill, saying to the WCNO staff, thank you for being a blessing.
You know, praise God. That when that came in a like a gift card envelope, and when I saw that, I thought, well, this isn't like our normal mail out. It's not a return WCNO envelope or anything, but opened up that envelope, and then the donation, which was significant. It was a $1,000 donation.
Amen.
It came in this really special envelope that actually has a tie around it, and so it was just really special. And there was the note there
to the station. I think this is handmade as well.
Do you think so?
Yes, because
it
looks like it's a piece of cardstock paper.
Someone may have
Glued that thing on there and then folded it up very nicely.
Well, it was a touch of God's love
it
that came to us.
Amen. Yes.
It really does. So we want to thank all of you who give, who support. And it's probably appropriate to say that, you know, going back to the last prayer and share when we did that, that there's still probably many donations that some of you haven't got around to giving yet. Mm-hmm. And so please prayerfully consider, as God provides, to go ahead and fulfill those commitments. And there were several hundred, maybe several thousand letters that went out, and some of you were not able to give at that time, but maybe you are at this time. But this isn't prayer and share, but we just want to say a big thank you to all of you who make this ministry possible by your prayer support and by your financial support. Dave, what do you have?
I have a letter from Mary Lee in Vero Beach, Florida.
Awesome.
And she sent us two seed packets.
Seed,
as in flower seeds.
Flower seeds.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and
along with a donation.
Along with a donation, yes, and which is seed money.
Seed money
for this ministry.
That's great. I love it.
And I mean, there really is one packet of zinnia seeds, and there's scriptures on the front of it.
Really, that's awesome.
The zinnia packet says they sow fields and plant vineyards and get a fruitful yield.
Wow.
Psalm 107, verse 37. And then the other one has Plains coreopsis, which I've never seen until I saw this picture. And the scripture is from Mark 4:26-27. It says, and he said, kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed upon the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He knows not how. And amen. But it's God's grace, and we are, I believe, Sherry has taken on the mantle of seed planting with
so
these
we're,
seeds.
So we're actually going to look amen. To sprout these up in, yep. In due season.
In due season.
In due season.
Oh, so they have the best chance of growing.
Yep.
You just gave me a great idea. My wife's a gardener.
Is she? Okay.
If I give her seeds and money, she's going to be very happy.
There you go.
Seeds and money.
This is Holy Spirit revelation to you.
Amen.
So, you know, Stuart, donations come different ways here.
Yes,
and
sir.
Sometimes they come along with different little object lessons that are a part of what someone sends. Some send their daily devotional pages out of their daily bread book or
amen.
Something, and
amen.
We, yeah. we look at these, and we go as we go through the mail, and it's encouraging. And so many times, it comes at a time that the word is timely. It just comes at a timely.
Amen.
So, Karen, just mention about the community calendar, and let people know how important that is, that churches, leaders, small groups, let us know about what's going on.
That's right. The community calendar is a feature, I guess it's feature is a good word for it,
it is.
That we
yes.
have
amen.
Here at WCNO, a free, mm-hmm. free, we like free things,
yep.
free feature where churches, nonprofits, if you have any type of event taking place, we will be happy to announce that on the community calendar, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. and 6 p.m., for a week or two leading up to your event. It's a great way to get the word out. You know, if you want people to come to your church or whatever the event is you're having, then you can just send us the information, who, what, when, where, how, and a contact phone number and person.
And we might say these are for non-ticketed events.
Correct.
Amen.
Free and
because,
open to the public.
Yes, free and open to the public.
If you're selling tickets, then you know we do have very affordable means by which you can mm-hmm. promote that event. But this is for ministry events, really, outreach yeah. ministry events. Mm-hmm. You can take offerings at these events. Obviously, it's no problem. But we really want to do all that we can to lift up your arms in the
amen.
Ministry that you have. So as a pastor, you mm-hmm. might be a board member. Maybe you're a Sunday school teacher. Maybe you're a youth leader. Women's ministry, men's ministry, whatever. Any of these events that come up. Right now, Vacation Bible School. It's summertime. And here we are with, I know, dozens of churches that are doing things.
Mm-hmm.
And we have very little contact.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're looking for people to know about your event, right here's a good place to make that happen.
Amen.
So
amen.
Let's do
hallelujah.
That. All right, Stuart, welcome. Great to have you with us back in the studio. And you've been in a few times now. Let's just start with a little bit of your God story, because I think people need to know a little bit about that, and I believe God has some things on your heart that you're going to want to share today.
You got it, Jonathan, and thank you for having me back. Oh, it's always a pleasure to come here. I love hanging out with you guys. It's always great
thank
getting
you.
Out with like-minded people,
amen.
Jesus
amen.
People, you know.
Amen.
When you come off I-95, you know, you got to kind of repent all the way out 714. So, you
that's
know,
right.
We do. You know, you got to keep things in perspective, I guess.
Yep.
But unfortunately, I just want to say this, Pastor Al Pagosi from Plant a Seed Ministry,
right.
he could not make it today due to the weather. He didn't put any floats. He didn't get the float option on his car when he bought it. You know what I'm saying? So
Plant a Seed Ministry.
Yes,
that ties right in with the theme this morning,
that's
doesn't
what
it?
That's what was going on
right
in
gonna
my mind.
Are you going to share a little of that in a bit as well?
Absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
Good. Tell us how did you come into the kingdom? Did you have a real nice, friendly, righteous life growing up, or what happened?
No, I did not have
you
a
did
nice,
not.
No. I actually spent from about 12 years old till 34, I guess it was, living an addiction lifestyle, starting out with alcohol, quickly progressing to marijuana, to immediately jumping into cocaine, and it's a good thing I got high when I did back then, because I'd be dead today with the fentanyl that's in everything.
Yeah.
And that is a major situation mm-hmm. that we have facing mm-hmm. us.
Yeah.
Because the weekend drug user, which I don't obviously endorse or condone,
sure.
but there was a couple, I just read a thing up in Jacksonville that they maybe three times a year they would use cocaine. And the wife, 28 years old, the husband, 29, and
both of them found dead with fentanyl overdose.
Wow.
One took a hit, the other took a hit, and they both dropped dead together. And that's just so sad. You know what I mean?
It's horrible.
You can't even, you never could trust the drug dealer, I promise you, but it's gone to a whole new level right now. I mean, you are literally putting your life in your hands if you're going to be out there using today. And that goes from any kind of drug, pill. They got this stuff looking like Skittles now. I mean, we know what the devil's trying to attack at that point is we know they're going after the youth. They're going after our children, you know. And when I started, my reign of terror began because of the loss of a very good friend and went onward left home at 15 and never went home. I did have loving parents, please understand that, but that's what addiction does to a family. It literally
takes it apart.
Nuclear assault, whatever you want to call it. And I moved out and been on my own ever since, to be honest with you. I mean, my dad, my stepdad especially, he would bring me, he dropped me off groceries about every 3-4 months. You know, he was from Sicily, so he was a cook, and man, he could cook. You know what I mean? I was bummed out about Sunday dinner. We did get that all rectified where I was coming back for Sunday dinner. Mm. Anyways, all those meatballs and the raviolis.
But, all the Italians can raise a hand and praise the Lord.
Absolutely, Lord.
Keep one hand on the wheel. Right.
Berjal, you know what I'm saying? Yep. Oh, yeah. Praise the Lord. We had some good stuff. But and that was neat. My real father, I really had two good fathers, but my real father his parents were from Poland. Mm. So I had the two great ethnic foods all the time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There was nothing really in the middle. It was either, you know, pierogies or we were eating meatballs. You know what I mean? So
both good.
Good stuff. But
pierogi is just a meatball with a coat on.
No. That's the cabbage. That's the guankies.
They're talking food language. I may need a dictionary.
So, but anyways, I hooked up with a girl by the time I was 18, and we had a son, and he, Corey. He passed away at 6 months old from SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome. And as time has fast forward, for any of you men who are listening who think that because your wife or your girlfriend or whomever you may be mating up with to have children, it's just as important for your health to be healthy and not using drugs and so on and so forth, because it's been found that men that use cocaine have a high rate of SIDS. When they make
really
yes
so that's a,
I've done a lot of research in this because I was really in the infancy of my sobriety is when I really started looking into that, because when I got sober I got guilty. I had to deal with I really had to deal with my son's death literally almost like 15-18 years after it happened, because I just buried my head in a crack pipe and a bottle of Jack Daniels and just mowed on forward. You know what I'm saying?
So probably many people have never faced that.
That is a problem. That's true. A lot of people never face the realities of what they go, you know, what God allows you to go through. And I say allows because I've been asked many a time since I entered in the ministry some 15-12 years ago. And, why would God take your children? Why would God? God doesn't take our children. God allows our children to be removed a lot of times, I believe, from a bad situation.
Yeah.
And at that time, I can basically blame myself on this one. I know I wasn't fit to be a good father.
Yeah.
I really know that from the bottom of my heart that
and that's a big problem. You know, Father's Day is coming up, and that's a huge problem in the family. Yeah,
I taught on a interesting statistic. You know, we talk about Father's Day, several years in the jail, and it was just before COVID. I did this study. CDC had the study out that 94% of children 21 and under that commit suicide come from a fatherless relationship home.
Mm. What percentage?
94%.
Wow.
They only started tracking it like 12 years prior to when I found that study, and I thought that was just mind-blowing. So if you don't think dad is an important part, you know, when mom says, get out, I got this, or dad says, hey, you got this, I don't need to be there, nonsense.
Well, many in society are saying, you know, the kids don't need a dad.
They do.
The father's not needed in the family.
They do.
And we are talking of a male dad.
Absolutely a male dad.
Yes.
No two ways about that.
Yeah.
A male dad, a female mom.
Yep.
a birth that, you know, wasn't genetically altered with, right, and all this right. other stuff
that we're having to face today.
We're yeah. trying yeah. to play God somehow for some reason on the sidelines. You know,
it's
what
insanity.
I'm saying? And it is insanity. It is very much insanity. We paid as much attention to just being good people and bringing Jesus Christ to the forefront of most of all of our problems.
Solve many.
The whole world would be in a much better place than yeah. it is today. Yeah. But we all know that that's not the case, and here we are. You know,
not
what I mean?
Yet.
No, we yet. Just got to continue to be prayer warriors. Amen. This is the most part, and be as the best examples of Christ we can be anywhere we go. And
not a great dad.
I was not a good dad. I had to basically. I left that girl. Donna was her name, and I don't want to give her last name, but yeah. I left her, moved on, hooked up with what had been my first wife, and had my oldest daughter. Sierra, who I loved dearly much. I saw her this morning. She's 30 now, so wow. you know what I mean.
That's awesome.
I love her to peanuts. She's amazingly smart girl too. Wow. You know, and moved to Florida because I was doing things in New York that were not very desirable. Let's just say that I was not doing things that most people would consider okay.
Yeah,
and I did those things simply because I didn't believe in going to the government for a free handout. I didn't believe, I broke the law in other ways rather than get a free handout, I guess, is what I did to pay the rent, to pay the bills, to get by. I never lived a lavish lifestyle by living a criminal lifestyle. All I did was literally pay the bills. And, you know, when I get this baby now, I got to buy formula, I got to buy diapers, and I got to pay the hospital bill. You mean, even as a criminal, I realized I had responsibilities that I had to uphold. And today, that moral of, oh, somebody else will worry about it. It's like, what happened here?
Yeah.
We're responsible when we make these engaged plans of things that we do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you got to pay the price, you know?
Yeah.
Unfortunately. But I moved to Florida, figured I'd run away down here and I would leave my cocaine problems behind and my criminal lifestyle behind, and I would
just come here. The physical addresses.
All I would do was just drive to Florida and the sunshine was going to come out and burn the sin off of my life. You know what I'm saying? I really didn't know God and I didn't know much about sin, but you know,
kind of
was the mentality though.
Right.
And
new start, fresh start.
Yeah, fresh start. And I realized when I got here that just, you know, smoking an ounce of pot a week and, you know, 12 pack a day, I was doing great because I wasn't doing cocaine. You know what I'm saying? I was well on my way. And then I
The National Weather Service in Miami has issued a tornado warning for northeastern Palm Beach County in southeastern Florida until noon. At 11:26 a.m., a severe thunderstorm capable of producing a tornado was located over Lane Country, Safari Park, or near Wellington, moving east at 10 miles an hour. Hazard, tornado. Source, radar indicated rotation. Impact, expects damage to mobile homes, roofs, and vehicles. Any damage is likely. Locations impacted include West Palm Beach, Wellington, Palm Beach Gardens, Green Acres, Royal Palm Beach, Loxahatchee Groves, Lion Country Safari Park, The Acreage, Golden Lakes, and Loxahatchee NWR. Take cover now. Move to an interior room on the lowest floor of a sturdy building. Avoid windows. If you are outdoors, in a mobile home, or in a vehicle, move to the closest substantial shelter and protect yourself from flying debris. To report severe weather, contact your nearest law enforcement agency. We will send a report to the National Weather Service office in Miami. You can also share your report with National Weather Service Miami on Facebook and Twitter.
A monstrosity of a lie. I mean, how many grandparents are raising kids and so on and so forth. And I know a lot of stand-up grandparents today that
thank God for them.
Yeah, that really came from a generation of understanding. But somehow I got to say, where did we go wrong in letting the next generation know that's your job? That's what you got to do.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But that is what it is. So, and then I wound up taking off, going on a party of a lifetime. I had gotten 6 screws, 2 rods, and a cage thrown in my back, 2004. And a few months after that's when I left my house and took off with a girl named Nikki for purposes. I won't use her last name. And we partied for 9 months really hard. Mm. Spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on drugs. Doesn't matter how many thousands.
Yeah.
Could have been 1,000, could have been a million. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Yeah. That, I'm going to make that perfectly clear, because how much is enough?
Yeah.
There's never enough.
Yeah.
Okay? That's all I can tell you. There's never enough money for a drug user. Yeah. Just never, because you'll screw it up somehow. You get $1 billion, you'd find a way to screw that up. Don't worry. We just seen somebody, son of our president,
do something very similar.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Without getting too political, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it doesn't discriminate. So, you know, this is a big problem.
Right out there, yeah.
And from there, it was December of 2004 where we were going to the pawn shop, and she was just getting a whole bunch of, or the Rent-A-Center. We were going to the Rent-A-Center so she can go Christmas shopping for her kids, buying computers and radios and TVs and, you know.
Whatever.
I don't think that stuff went back, but... I couldn't believe what we did, but we did it. And shortly thereafter, January, me and right here in Martin County, I get into an argument with her brother right out here at Tanner Highway and I-95, 76 there, Cracker Barrel. I get into an argument with her brother, and we have a real serious physical confrontation, and ultimately a gun came out. My truck got shot up. I don't know how he missed me. We weren't 20 feet away, not 20 yards, 20 feet. Mm. And as I was leaving, because I got the better of the physical confrontation, meaning I was on top of the situation, as I was walking back to my truck, walking like I was a peacock or a rooster, like, hey, you know, mess with me, you know, blah, blah, blah. Next thing I know, I hear his truck start up, and he goes flying through the landscape median over the top of the curb and runs me over, hits me. Bam, I go flying in the air, land flat on my back. I got the police report. I should have brought it down here. But anyways, that was January the 5th, 2005. Next thing I know, there's helicopters, police, everything, because when the gun went off, the fellow in the Chevron station there
starts calling
911. So, you know, there was another 5-10 minute tussle going on since the gunshot. So, you know what I mean? By the time, it didn't take long. It seemed like after I got hit, I saw lights coming. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, unfortunately, that young man went and did time for all of our foolishness, you know, his foolishness, my foolishness. And, we go back to my place. I had a condo in the PGA Village in Castle Pines, and smoking a lot of crack. Mm. And went back, smoked crack there pretty much. I didn't even go to the hospital after getting hit. That's how messed up, because I was worried I was going to be too long without getting high. So I go back. I finally get back to my condo, and I slay there basically till January the 12th. Saying, getting high, burning up all the money I got left, burning up all the crack I got. And I asked Nikki to take me to the hospital because I knew I can get some pills that I could trade out for more crack. So we go to the hospital, long story short, because there's a lot of details in all this, but I wind up in the ER after about 4 or 5 hours, and I'm jonesing now. I need to get ahead of something. I mean, I am really losing my mind. I'm ready to get violent, you know what I mean? And doctor brings me in, closes the, you know, that's when they had curtains there. They didn't have fancy separate rooms, you know what I mean? And he says, I don't know why God would waste a miracle on a poor SOB like you. Wow. He used a lot of other choice words that I don't want to use on the radio.
And, but he said that. He said, why would God?
If there was ever a moment for the first time in my life that I heard God speak, not realizing that it was God, you know what I mean? When I look back at it, and he said, you want to get some help, I can direct you. I said, I don't need any help. He goes, get out of my...
Yeah.
He goes, your script will be over there when you sign out. And he, blah, 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 you know what I mean? Yep. A lot of other words.
Yeah.
Because I was driving his nurses crazy. I was driving everybody in their nuts. Yep. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And so I go out there, look for my ride home. Nikki's not there. I go walk across the street to the CVS or US 1 in Lingate, right across Port St. Lucie Hospital. I waddle over there. It takes me almost an hour to walk there from the hospital to there because I can barely walk. But this is addiction at its finest. I'm in dire pain. Can't. But I'm going to go over there and get my pills.
I'm going.
And at the end of the day, they didn't have any pills. I almost killed the pharmacist. I tried to go through the window after him. I really did. And they had them little windows. It wasn't like they opened today. Thank God they had that there, because, boy, I would have been over the counter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And call a cab, go back to my apartment, my condo, whatever you want to call it, that I had at the time, and my place is locked down like Fort Knox, and I never locked the windows, never locked the doors, because I lost the keys. And $3 for a key versus a pack of Marlboro Reds, or that going to the cost for some charcoal from a crack pipe? No way, man. We needed...
Yeah,
we can't waste money on keys. I'd sold everything worth anything, you know? So I go there, and the place is locked up. I'm like, my car is there, so I know she's got to be there. She's not answering the phone, and I'm very upset that she's not answering the phone. So I borrow a butter knife, go through the back door, breaking the back door. You know, anybody that's professional or semi-professional knows a butter can open a sliding glass door without. Yeah. So make sure your sliding glass door has that wood bar, you know, in the bottom, because... Be safe, folks. That's all I'm telling you. Yeah. And I go in and I realize that my my condo's clean. The bed was made. There was vacuum marks on the floor. The dishes were washed. And you say, well, what's wrong with that? We lived like pure drug addicts.
Mm.
The bed linens probably had never been cleaned in at least 8 months.
Wow.
The dishes hadn't been cleaned since the first day we dirtied them months prior. Mm-hmm. We were living off of Robin toilet paper from McDonald's. We were living off of Robin soap from McDonald's. And you know, just all the condiment stuff that you get at any convenience store, whatever you have it. There was cigarette ashes all over the floor, burn marks everywhere in the carpet. I mean, it was definitely that bad scene.
Yeah.
But this time I go walking in and it's clean as a whistle. And I'm saying, what in the heck? What happened here? And I walk in, I'm like, Nick, what are you doing? Where are you? And I look and I see her legs sticking out of the closet. I'm like, what'd she do, pass out? And I turn the corner, she's got stereo cord wrapped around her neck. She had hung herself in the closet.
Wow.
Unfortunately, I took her down, tried to do CPR with a little bit I knew about that, because I did know a little about it. And at the end of the day, rigor mortis was setting in already. She was beginning to get a little stiff, so she had been that way for quite some time. When the police came, they handcuffed me, told me I was under arrest for murder. That was the first thing. I was like, whoa, that one didn't even cross my mind. That really did not even cross my mind for a minute that you know, they might think I did something here. And the fact was when they got the coroner over there and then the CSI, the real CSI, St. Louis County CSI came, they verified with the pharmacist where I was at that time and the doctor's office. Mm-hmm. So they knew that I wasn't there, and they figured she had passed about between 2 and 3 in the morning somewhere in that neighborhood. And she left the hospital. We got there at 11 and she left 30 minutes after they took me back. And the woman said she left crying. So. Then she left me a note on a yellow notepad, just like you got there, dear, and that told me I sold her soul to the devil and to tell her mother she's saving a place for her mother in hell. And it breaks my heart to even think about that. Mm. Then two of them had an altercation the day before. My big thing about that and the message in that is if you're got an argument with somebody you love and somebody you know you should be loving or whatever you might have, don't let little things...
Yeah.
Please, folks, because I've seen a couple of cases already where people left and exited this world and left a lot of unfinished business. And there's a lot of guilt going around that now mushrooms into some more. Into some more addiction, there's some more hatred, into some more, you know. Don't leave stuff unfinished. I don't care what your point is or who's right, who's wrong. Be right in God's eyes and just love. You know what I'm saying? And that sometimes is easier said than done, and I get that. But at the end of the day, that's the way it needs to be. You know, if we got to eat a little crow, we got to eat a little crow. But, you know, to fast forward, and then I get arrested, go to jail. Pastor Rail comes into my life, who was going to be here with us today. Plant a Seed Ministries, which I'm associate pastor. We're doing Plant a Seed on the Water on Sunday mornings at Causeway Cove Marina in Fort Pierce. There's a little yellow pavilion over there that...
this is an outreach service.
It's an outreach service. We go there from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Sunday morning. We're 9 a.m. prompt, 10 a.m. prompt over with. We won't keep you there for 4 hours. We'll get you in, get you out type of thing. We'll expose you to some recovery ministry when anybody needing help. We started out last July, I want to tell you, we had like 7-8 people really coming over there. And now, you know, we're 40, 50. Sometime through the wintertime, we had as many as 70 people coming. Easter morning was over 150. It blew my mind.
Wow.
And so Pastor Al and I talk about planting seeds. So we call that one Plant a Seed on the Water because, you know, Plant a Seed is the foundational ministry over on Avenue D in Fort Pierce. And, you know, Al found me in my brokenness in St. Lucie County Jail with two black eyes. I weighed 146 pounds from the STEM fast diet, and I was trying to kill myself literally hours before I met Pastor Al.
Wow.
I had the sheets threaded. I was just spiritually bankrupt. I was at a place that I could never thought I could come out of. I was that kind of desperate, that kind of broken, that kind of gone, and then God brings this crazy little Italian Brooklyn guy into my life, and he starts telling me everything wrong with me, and you know, at the end of the day, praise God, it worked. I listened. He you know, he called me a moron the first day, and I said, what are you, aren't you a pastor? He goes, you got a problem with that? And you know, I said, all right, here we go, you know what I mean? But this is just the truth,
right?
Yeah, this is just the truth. I mean, and you know, when you're coming out of that kind of lifestyle and that addiction, you need people that are really going to be, you know, to go over and say, you know, hey, Dave, it's going to be all right, buddy. You're going to be, no. You got to hit the devil right between the eyes because you're living in a possessed spirit.
Yeah.
Yes, your spirit is possessed. You got a little bit of wherewithal that God's given you to still kind of see that, but you got to bang the devil out of you, man. And sometimes you got to get hard, and sometimes you got to get cruel about it. But you know what? It's all right. It will come out if you want to let go and you let the right people coach you, things will go well. But I'm sorry, you know, again, Pastor Al couldn't be here today, but, you know,
you can bring him back. We'll have you back.
Oh, yeah, no,
we
never
get all your story.
We'll definitely bring him back. And, you know, as it is right now, you know, I had an unfortunate car accident. As you know, with the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance, I was on my way to the meeting that morning. I got a disc bad. And last week I went, and they told me I got a broken pelvic. And the nurse says, Andy, from Dr. Boykin's office, she says, I don't even know how you're walking. I don't even know what you're doing. I went to a specialist. He goes, are you kidding me? I said, listen, man, God is good. I don't know what to tell you. I was just sharing Dave a picture of the CT scan, and whatever, we'll deal with it. God is good. We'll work our way through it. And, you know, a lot of exciting things have happened in my life. Joining the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance with
great to have you on board.
I love you guys. I'm looking forward to September with Jonathan Kahn and Paul Wilbur. I mean, that's wow, man. I'm so
huge.
So that's going to be so monumental. We need to do a couple shows about that.
Yeah, we do.
You know, we will.
Yeah,
we will.
That's going to be really awesome. But I got an awesome wife. I love her. You know, my children are really great. My daughter went to be with Jesus 6 years ago from a tragic car wreck. I don't have time today to get all into that.
That's another story, but that's an important story.
So God's brought me from basically, you know, getting run over by a car, run over by a cow, you know, burying two children that are with Jesus, and finding my girlfriend in the closet, and the war goes on. And I mean, I can go on. I mean, I had my whole family come after me at one point with my business and everything right after my daughter went to be with Jesus. But you know what? God put great people in my life, Pastor Al, Chris Fogel. I mean, just people that Mr. Fogel, I love him to death too. I mean, that both him and Al have been in my life instrumental in the steering me and spiritually and you know, business, everything. I mean, I just, God's put the soldiers in my life I needed to.
And you're a local guy. You're a local guy right here in the state of Florida, right here on the East Coast, right here on the Treasure Coast. You're a guy that the devil was trying to kill right here, and God raised you up.
Absolutely.
Well, you're welcome to hang out with us for the rest of our time. We have Seamus Gordon with us, who is a brother that God has raised up to speak into our families. Father's Day is coming up, and you were just talking about the many days that you were not a father. Seamus, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Doesn't he have a great voice for the radio?
Great voice.
He just comes in here. Seamus, we just had Stuart talking about a lot of the days in his life and how messed up his life was and other people's lives that he was around. Fathers is a really important, fathers are really important, and our nation, our world is lacking a lot because the fathers haven't been there. How did you come to where you are, and what's on your heart this morning?
Well, just to go back to something you said about the importance of fathers, you can know how important a thing or a person is based on how much effort the devil puts out to take them out.
Wow, that's a good.
And when we look at what happened from day one, where he actually separated Adam from Eve, his mantra is to assassinate after he isolates. So when he isolates fathers from the families, we know that he has got the family. Yeah. And so we see that whole trend of his right down through history. Even some of the natural, or should I say, social events that happened, the wars, most men, most of the warriors were men. And so again, men were separated from the families. I dare say even during slavery, and that the enemy would separate men from the families in the jail. I happen to do a ministry in the jail. Most of the men in jail are separated from their families. So it's an attack from the enemy that we have got to face head on, and not just identify the problem, but be part of the solution. Hence the father-child connection, which back to the question, how I grew up, and having a dad present, at least physically present, but never ever hearing him say to me, I love you. Mm-hmm. Never. And deciding, something is missing here. So when I became a father, just flipping the script and making sure that I would inundate my daughter day in, day out, until she starts rolling her eyes with, I love you, and making sure she knows that.
Amen. But so, recruiting dad tours. I have DADTORS. What is a dad tour?
I know. We create new words in the father-child connection, from dadducation to dad tours. So as we approach Father's Day coming up, we are very much aware that there are many kids who are growing up without a father or a father figure.
Yeah.
And it's a very uncomfortable time for many individuals and many families. In fact, there are some organizations who don't even want to do something about Father's Day, because they know by celebrating the ones that we do have, they're those who are going to be sad because they don't have a father figure. Mm-hmm. So we have decided to recruit fathers and father figures to serve as dad tours for children without fathers. Now, it's not big brothers, big sisters. There's already an organization out there doing a great job for that. But this is when we recruit and train and background check every father or male figure who comes forward. I say background check, and that is important because even though, as the old saying is, it takes a village, we have to background check the villagers.
Now we do.
Unfortunately.
Yes.
And so what this is to have a group of men, and some of them are fathers themselves, who come forward to serve as father figures for children without fathers, giving 1 hour a week. 1 hour a week. The amazing thing is that many of the volunteers, the dad tours, have developed such an amazing rapport and relationship with the children. They're giving more than 1 hour, but we ask them for 1 hour. And the 1 hour does not have to be given in one full go. So, for example, they can use 15 minutes to go by the local school, because, again, we background check them and they're able to go into the schools. They can have lunch with the child for just 15 minutes. They can go to the library with them and read for half an hour. And so over the whole week, 1 hour is given, and that makes a difference. Mm-hmm. To invest
just an hour.
Just an hour. 60 minutes makes a difference. Mm. And so we're appealing to anybody who wishes to serve as a father figure. And you might be a father yourself, and you might be an empty nester or something like that, but you have 60 minutes to give. And it does not matter when during the week. Whether it's Saturday, Sunday, it does not matter when. We even have some fathers whose background are not perfect. They have a checkered past, and yet they still have something to offer. So I'm saying to anybody out there who's saying, oh, I'm not an ideal person because of how I've lived in the past, very often you can teach somebody what not to be.
That's very true.
True.
Very
so true. You can come and say, this is what I've done, and my family, they're good, and they're grown up, and the children are successful and all that. And yet you can be somebody who, like my brother here, can tell you what their past has been and let you know where you don't need to go. This mm-hmm. old saying that a wise man learns from his mistakes, yeah. that's true. Mm-hmm. But a wiser man learns from the mistakes of others.
Amen. 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 Yeah.
And so if you have somebody who is willing to be vulnerable, to tell their story, not to glorify it and make it seem like some sort of movie thing, but just to be vulnerable and to say what has happened in your lives, the scars, the dead ends, the detours, then if they share their story with another father or another young man, well, experience might be the best teacher, but who says it has to be your experience?
Right, right. You can learn from that to avoid it.
Exactly so.
Yeah, that's so important. Having grown up in a family with a lot of good, but also some bad, you know, with some abuse, sexual abuse and different things that happened, a lot of physical abuse. And verbal abuse, but and in a churched family, so this is not just secular.
That's why we're
here, because this is in the church. But my brother and I, we talked about it, and you know, some of us said, you know, you were abused so much physically, you know, and you'd been better off without a father. And my brother and I both, after different levels of abuse that happened to us, we both said, we are glad that we had a father, even if he was messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And so there may be people listening today, some men listening today, that are saying, like Stuart Fikita said earlier, wasn't a great dad, but God reclaimed him and restored and rebuilt. And so today, as people are listening, there's a place, as God has awakened in you a new life, there's a place for you to come and be a part of the solution now. You know, don't consider yesterday's failure being tomorrow's failure. Yeah, that's powerful. So what about moms? Mom's sense too? I mean, we have all kinds of I'm thrilled to have you in the studio, because we're talking about maybe in the future being able to do a little more time.
Amen.
Seamus, with you and with the ministry. So what are moms up to?
Well, we have chosen to be creative in how we present programs and services to families. So, for example, rather than challenging men to man up, which is not always very positive,
right?
Because the men have heard so many times from the mothers of the children, man up, pay the child support, and be here. We now empower them to dad up. Instead of just man up.
Yeah. Dad up, right.
Dad up.
Yeah.
And so we have a new program called Mom Sense.
Okay.
See, we can talk nonsense or we can talk mom sense.
I like it.
This is a program where we engage moms in our attempts to empower men and to get dads engaged. We find out that it is very helpful to talk with the moms, the mothers of the children. And so we have a three-pronged approach in the Mom Sense program. For a single mom, most times, they have been wearing both hats. But I've often said, even though I love my right hand because I'm right-handed, it doesn't mean I don't need my left hand.
Yeah.
And so many moms have had to make it, and I have spoken to some moms who said, I don't need a man.
Yeah.
And they're probably true. They don't need a man, but the child needs a man. The child needs a father figure. Just to divert a little bit, I find it interesting that there's a part in 1 Timothy where Paul mentioned that Timothy had a great grandma and a great mother, Lois and Eunice.
Yeah.
But yet he called Timothy his son.
He needed a Paul.
Thank you. He needed a Paul. So even though he had some wonderful women in his life, Paul stepped
godly,
up.
Strong, godly.
Even so to be mentioned. Very often in the Bible, you don't especially
you don't know who they are.
They're named. They are not named. But here they are prominent. Yet they needed a Paul.
Yeah.
And so part of the Mom Sense program is to say to mom, having a father figure involved in the child's life isn't undermining your strengths and what you contribute to the child.
Right.
And so we start with, okay, how can you help us, father-child connection, to contact dad and get the biological father involved, if it is possible and or desirable.
Okay.
So that's number one. Number two, if that's not possible or desirable to get the biological father, we ask mom, well, whom within your family you could refer us to? Granddad, uncle, stepdad, a family friend. Right. And with your permission and making that soft introduction, we go to that person within the family to find that father figure for that child or those children. If that's not possible or desirable, we go to the third tier. That's when we go to the wider community, including the church, to find dad tours. And this is not eHarmony.com part two. Yeah. This is not hooking up mom. No, it is not. It is about having a father figure who will be there for the child or the children, with mom's permission, of course. And of course, we live in a crazy world, so we are mindful of when and where that connection takes place.
Okay, we're on the edge of our seat. How do we get a hold of you, Seamus? How does the dads that are out there, or those that would be available, or and moms, how do they find you?
So there are two ways. One, they can call 561-229-2379. That's 561-229-2379. Or they can email us at admin@thefatherchildconnection.org. admin@thefatherchildconnection.org.
All right, and that is some really important news, and to focus on solution that the church can get involved.
Very much so.
That single men can be involved, and I know that a lot of men grew up maybe without this relationship. It doesn't mean that God can't use you.
Oh,
now.
My goodness. Yeah. Not at all. It doesn't mean that.
So I made mention of the fact within the church, we still have a couple minutes, the world versus the church. We have many single moms in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And we have many, I believe, critical needs that are even within the body of Christ. And so this is, it's not just unbelievers that are dealing with this great need. All of us, this is a great need. And is this not a tremendous aspect of revival for fathers just to come back home?
Come back home, sometimes literally coming back home, but also back in the lives of their children and families. With the little time that I have, I want to stress that as we approach Father's Day, we are advocating for fathers to invest in themselves with self-care. And we empower fathers to be better spies. Yes, better spies. They need to take care of themselves spiritually, that's the S. They need to take care of themselves physically, that's the P. Yep. They need to take care of themselves intellectually, that's the I. The E, the emotion. We guys, we don't cry, we need to take care of ourselves emotionally and, of course, socially. So we, throughout this next few weeks in June, as we celebrate and affirm fathers, we're encouraging them to be better spies. Because if they are not okay, their children very often won't be.
So a pastor's listening, a board member's listening, youth worker's listening, and they're like, okay, how does this connect into what is available for us as a small group or as a men's group or as a congregation? What is available?
Training is available.
Are you available?
I am available.
Okay, well, that's a good place to start.
I am available.
Okay.
We can meet by Zoom. We can do in person. And that's the wonderful thing about technology now. And because there's only one of me at this moment, we train other people to be dad tours, facilitators, and we have staff and volunteers in the Father-Child Connection. So we look forward to hearing from other people who might want our services, but also be part of this movement.
To connect.
Amen.
So you are speaking to many counties, 12 counties right now. We're speaking into 12 counties, and if everybody had their radio on,